Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel of Kat Edwards and myself who come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us at the same time every week, same day, same time, Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, U.S., 10 a.m. Brisbane time. Right, Kat?
That's it.
On Monday.
Monday, Brisbane time, Australia. California.
What about California?
I think there's a township called Brisbane in California.
Oh, is there really? Okay, well, we do
I think so, but they pronounce it Brisbane, though, I'd say.
Well, that's how I've always been tempted to pronounce it until I heard the correct pronunciation from you, at least for the Australian thing.
You can call it Brisvegas.
Brisvegas?
Yeah.
I like that. Well, folks, tonight Kat and I are going to talk about fate versus destiny and potential. And the question is, how are fate and destiny different? Do you want me to read the description that I found, Kat, or do you want to just...
Yes.
Okay.
No, let's go into that from lonawolf.com.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that's even a different one. Let me go there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, let me go there. I just have to back up here because this is a little bit more detailed than the initial description that I came across. This is from lonerwolf.com, the difference between fate and destiny. Destiny has more positive connotations than fate. Deriving from the Latin word destinare, destiny means that which has been firmly established. While this definition also refers to the idea of predetermined events, destiny is something we can actively shape and alter. Unlike fate, there is an element of choice in destiny. And then it talks about how qualities like courage, compassion, willpower, and patience can all help to change our destiny. And then it says about fate, it comes from the Latin word fatum, or that means that which has been spoken. It's associated with that which has been predetermined in our lives. It's based on the notion there's a natural order in the universe which cannot be changed no matter how we try. Now, destiny, even though it talks about that which has been firmly established, it certainly has a different connotation, doesn't it, Kat?
Yeah, people think, oh, you're destined to do that, so it was always meant to be. But what you're saying is that destiny is a little bit more fluid. Is that correct?
That seems to be what Lona Rolf is saying. I mean, the other thing that I had read about fate and destiny says that they're often used interchangeably, but they're not the same. And that fate is the life you lead if you never put yourself in the path of greatness, whereas destiny is your potential waiting to happen. So that's another interesting take on the two. And it makes fate sound a lot more limiting than destiny to me.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So it sounds like it's saying to you, if you follow the path of fate, you'll have probably a good life, but it will be a mediocre life that's not fulfilling your potential.
Yeah.
But if you were to pick up your destiny, maybe you would have to take some risk, but the reward would be greater and you would be opening yourself up to the magic within. Would that be what you think it means?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, to have the destiny to me seems like a form of empowerment, that if I can shape, alter it to reach my highest good, that then I have the power within myself, whereas fate just seems to take that power away from you in a sense.
Yes. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And when you think of the word fate and then you put it next to the word fatal, you know, it's kind of like a mortal, a living death. So you're alive, but you're sort of, you're not awake. Maybe it really is to do with being not woke. Maybe that's part of it too. You're not awakened. When we talk about, you know, the whole ascension deal that people like to talk about, maybe that's them actually ascending into their destiny rather than settling for their fate, as much as it is ascending into your heart and living out of your heart, which is what I think really the ascension is about. But fate, to me, it sounds like you're really settling for second best kind of life in some respects.
I agree. And to me, destiny is something where we take charge of our life and take responsibility for the outcome, whatever that may be. And hopefully we will realize our greatest potential if we follow the path of destiny instead of just allowing the fickle finger of fate to lead us willy-nilly.
Yeah, but then we've got to really sort of think a little bit about, and I'm sure the listeners are thinking, yeah, but what about this life scenario at the beginning? And, you know, you do choose a scenario for your life. Is that your fate or is that your destiny, that scenario? Because you choose your parents, you choose, therefore, your culture, you choose, therefore, whether or not you're going to be raised by the people that you were born to or by different people along the way, you know, depending if you're going to be an orphan or a foster child. You're definitely going to be born into a country, therefore a culture, and you're going to have a type of body that's going to be male or female or androgynous or transitioning. You're going to have all the confusion of having a male body, a female body, androgynous body or a transitioning body, because I really don't think that anybody who has a gender finds it all very, you know, cut and dry. There's so much confusion around being human and having a gender. Then you have, you know, the sexuality of that body that you have to deal with. You have, because you're born into a certain country, into a certain township, village or city, you have the micro culture of that area, and the people who are raising you, they have friends, they have family. There are people that you will meet as a child that you cannot avoid meeting. Is that fate or destiny, David?
Boy, that's a good question. I like the use of the word choice because I do believe that we choose every aspect of the lives that we enter into. And I gather that's what you were driving at. You know, being a gay person, I've heard people say that's a choice. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not. That's my nature. However, it was a choice that I made when I entered this particular life contract, if you will. And I think that everything that comes our way involves us making choices each step of the way, for better or for worse. And if we choose the path of betterment, then I believe we're following our destiny. If we choose something else, I think we're more likely to lock ourselves into what was referred to as fate. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And what sexuality you have goes along with what body you have, in my opinion. Just backtracking there, because you are gay, I'm heterosexual. That's a happenstance of the body that I was born into, that I chose to reincarnate into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, as a spirit, I don't have a preference to be heterosexual over being lesbian. It's the structure of this body.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
In my opinion, this body comes along with a predisposition to having heart disease because it's in the genetic line. This body comes along with the predisposition of growing dark hair and having olive skin that gets darker as I age and if I go out in the sun. This body comes along with the predisposition of being heterosexual. It's just the body that I was born into. It's not a choice that I made consciously when I was 15.
Right.
And people who say, oh, you made a choice to be gay, or like gay is some sort of disease, are, they're walking the line of ignorance. Let's just put that out there and they leave it there so we can move on. So it's just because I don't want people upset.
No, I hear you. I mean, the only thing that I was getting at was that I believe we choose the challenges that we're looking for in this, in the family systems.
Yeah.
And, you know, every aspect, including the body we're born into, and I loved your explanation of that with regards to any aspect connected to the body or the body dispositions. So that was really...
Well, we can look at... I agree. And look, we can look at a man born in the 60s who is born into a body that has a gay disposition, right? Now, the soul goes and learns a stack of lessons, good and bad, because of growing up at a time when there was a big sexual revolution and a change in the way that people viewed people who are homosexual, changing the laws so that it was no longer illegal, therefore it was no longer clandestine. You know, wow.
Yeah.
That's a huge leap in soul consciousness and lessons and growth. It's a good thing to have been born gay or lesbian during that time. I mean, you were. And look how much you've grown and look how much you've got history in society because of what has happened. And that, was that your fate or your destiny?
Well,
you know, that's really interesting. That's an interesting life.
It is interesting. And I feel compelled to share a little bit of my personal experience around this. I hadn't intended to get into my sexuality, but now that it's on the table, let's just say that there was a transition period that occurred around the time I was a young adult, but everything was still very closeted and there were deep, dark secrets and a lot of misinformation and negative connotations to being what was called sexual or some of the disparaging terms that were used as I was growing up. And for me, I wanted to be quote-unquote normal, and I chose the path initially of getting married to a woman and hoping to have a family, and that didn't happen, and that's perfectly okay. It was just part of the choices that I made that shaped my greater destiny, and ultimately I came to realize that I was being untrue to myself and my calling by staying in a heterosexual marriage. What I will say to my credit, if I may, is that I was able to be honest with my wife before we got married, but not initially after I had had sexual experience with men. I felt very ashamed about that and guilty, but I came to a point where I realized I had to get honest with her. And I did that just a month before the wedding. And boy, that was a can of worms. But we loved each other. And we decided we could face the challenge and that we could overcome, love would overcome all. And that was not the case. But the point I'm trying to make is that I followed the call to be true to myself. And that, I believe, is part of my greater destiny. Because if I had accepted fate and the limiting notions of leading a closeted life, and yeah, maybe going on and having a family and achieving that part of my desire, I wouldn't have been true to myself. And I think that it's resonating now that destiny has to do with aligning yourself with truth and being true to yourself. What do you think about that?
I love that. Yes, absolutely. And it's beautiful that you were able to be honest with your wife. I know somebody else who had a husband who wasn't honest with her, and it broke her heart the way that he came out to her. So the fact that you were very mature and an adult about it was a kindness. And, you know, obviously the two of you had stuff to work through. So I love that you did that. I think you're also right in the fact that your destiny is, you know, because you followed your truth, it took you to where you were meant to be in your life. And now you're accomplished, you're an author, you've had a wonderful career doing multiple things, but, you know, a social worker has been the major positive impact that you've had on society. And now you're a radio host, and that's because you followed your truth the entire time. And for me, it's been following that burning desire in my heart. And I've made mistakes, and I've had to square away with them. But I've also made self-sacrifices, I think, because I've made agreements with people before this incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
And those self-sacrifices have held me back. So we were having this conversation yesterday. Those self-sacrifices have held me back, but they actually steered me onto the path that I'm on now. So were they holding me back, or were they keeping me from fate?
Well, and I hear what you're saying. I just wanted to affirm for you that even though it may have seemed like it was holding you back at some level, you were always moving in a forward direction. And as you were saying, it brought you to a place where you began to realize another potential. And that's one of the words that we're going to talk about today. And what I liked about the notion that destiny is opening ourselves to our potential. I see you fulfilling that, and I know that you have a lot of other dreams for yourself, and I think that following our passion, as Joseph Campbell would say, and pursuing our dreams is the pathway to our greater destiny. What do you think about that?
I think so, and for anyone who's listening who doesn't know, or I don't know, I don't have a dream, I don't know what my potential is, it's that burning heart. It's what is going on in your heart that you can't ignore it. It's whatever is burning in your heart. If it's to open an animal sanctuary, that's your destiny. If that's what's burning in your heart, if it's to assist elderly people by driving them, you know, around to get their shopping, that's your destiny. If that's what's burning in your heart, whatever it is that's burning in your heart, you need to listen to it, because you don't want to die and having not done it. That's where the regrets are.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the real regrets are. It's when you're elderly and your vitality is waning and you know you're going to pass away and you didn't follow what was burning in your heart. Don't be there. because you know, that's a sad place to be.
I have a friend who is in that place. He's at the end of his life, and he has some very deep regrets about not following some of the desires of his heart. And those were choices that he made that may have kept him from moving in the direction that he now would have chosen for himself were he able to go back. But I think the thing is, it serves no purpose to have regrets. You know, it's part of the human experience to have them, but they can lead to things like resentment that are toxic to the soul.
Yes, they are, aren't they? And if you do have regrets, the best thing that you can do is reconcile with them.
Right.
Square away with it.
Right.
Now, because we can't change the past.
No.
We can only move forward. So by learning from them, then you can create that destiny that you want. And, you know, there's lots of books out there. There's lots of teachers out there. A lot of people talk about the law of attraction. That's a big buzz. It's been a big buzz for a while. Really what we're doing is consciously changing our mind. And if you don't like your living circumstances, consciously change your mind and work on a plan to get out of there. If you don't like your work circumstances, consciously change your mind and work on a plan to get out of there. I have a lot of clients who come to me unhappy in their workplace. And I often say to them, don't resign. Now, why would I say that? Because you have to pay the bills. Let's work on a plan to get you out of there is the best option. Stay where you are and keep paying your bills. And on the side, go to college or get that extra training or start job hunting and really decide where you want to live and what kind of lifestyle you want and the sorts of people that you want to work with, the values that you want in a company if you want to be an employee or the kind of business you'd like to create if you want to be your own boss. People often feel completely absorbed by their unhappiness and therefore they feel like they're in an illusion. They're trapped, but it's an illusion because there's always a door. There's always, I mean, you look at those movies, you know, Indiana Jones movies, the adventure movies, even in the most puzzling, horrible circumstance where there's some sort of booby trap that they're stuck with, there's always a way out. It's an illusion to think there's no way out. It's just that you have to think about how do I get out? And the answer may take time, but it will get there. And in doing that, you can be tapping into your potential because you have the potential to create anything that you want, but you also have latent talents and gifts and abilities that you may not be drawing on. And if you use those potential, if you draw on your talents and your gifts, if you draw on the creative aspect of who you are, that's when things are going to change. What do you think about that, David?
Well, I was agreeing with everything that you said. I was also thinking about how sometimes when we are not actively pursuing what may be a passion of ours, but we are unhappy with where we're at, and, you know, this example of somebody being unhappy in their job is a great example. What happened for me is that I was feeling unfulfilled. I loved the helping aspect of being a social worker, which came on the heels of being a businessman. But I did not feel personally fulfilled because I really am a creative being. And, yeah, I was able to I was able to exercise a certain amount of creativity within the job, but it did not provide me with the satisfaction that I was looking for. And I made plans to get out of that profession a couple of times, and for whatever reason, that didn't happen. And then life threw me a whammy that forced me out, and it opened the door for me to a creative enterprise that I'd never considered, and that was writing. You talked about me being an author. And now I feel very fulfilled at a creative level. It's not what I had envisioned for myself as a teenager. I'd wanted to be an actor. But it is fulfilling a creative potential that I didn't even realize existed, and I could never be happier than I am right now. So that was just a little twist on what you were saying.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you followed many different jobs in your career to bring you to being an author. And, you know, and this is something we were discussing in the meeting before the show, is that you're not defined by a job. That isn't who you are. And, you know, when you see in the media, if somebody is on a game show, you know, it's Rory McKenzie, plumber. Well, that's not who he is. That's what he does for money. He's got a skill, and that's what he does for money. But who he is an incredible, dynamic human being who is sentient in his own right and has deep thoughts about caring for his family and his environment, and has a love of sailing and a passion for permaculture. You know, that's who he is. He's not a plumber. A plumber is the job that he does. And we can fall into defining ourselves by what we do,
mm-hmm.
but it's not really who we are. We're a spirit occupying a body, and the personality of that spirit has multiple facets. We're a diamond. You know, we're multifaceted creatures. And within that, you know, who you are in the path of your destiny, all those roles that you took, you know, you could say your career has been a series of characters. And it's brought you to a place now where you're an author and you're able to draw on all this life experience to create these amazing stories. That's a potential that you are beginning to fulfill in a deeper level than you've ever had before. Now you're doing screenwriting.
Well, you know, I was thinking about the plumber and how there are the person who does plumbing to earn a living. There are some people who do define themselves by their jobs or by external circumstances and never come to realize their potential, which is sad. And so maybe they are stuck in the pathway of fate because they have really not taken responsibility for their lives by peeling back the layers of the onion to get to know who they really are and what they're all about. What do you think about that?
I agree, and I think that's probably where the mainstream media just calls people by their profession.
Mm.
I think you're right. It's that who are you, what do you do, that's who you are. And it's settling for the fated life, which is a life in debt, really, because you're in debt to your own soul rather than paying your soul and growing your soul. You're drawing. I don't know where I'm going with this.
It doesn't matter. I'm following the thread. I am.
It feels like a faded life. It makes you tired. It feels, when I think about it, I feel like if I were to live a faded life, I'd be getting tired. I'd be getting worn out. I'd become empty, and I wouldn't be unhappy. Whereas if I was living a life that was alongside my destiny and fulfilling my potential, I would feel alive. I would feel invigorated. I would be putting energy into my soul's energy banks. Whereas if I was living a life that was just plodding along, mediocre, fated, not opening myself up, not awakening to my potential, I would be drawing from my soul's battery. I'd be drawing from my soul's energy banks, and I would eventually become very tired and probably give up or feel quite grumpy.
Well, we can limit ourselves by our beliefs, can't we? And beliefs start with thoughts and then proceed to attitudes and then beliefs. And, you know, perhaps what we need to do is dig deeper and come to experience the whole realm of human emotions to really become alive. A lot of people do not experience their emotions. They stuff them, they act them out, they become angry and jaded, and or they deny that they're feeling any particular way. They may not like to feel sad, and so they just stuff it, and they're not experiencing the realm of what they could experience as human beings. And, you know, one of the things that Lona Wolf talks about is moving out of your comfort zone. And that, I think, is an important thing for us to do if we are going to get out of a place of limitation.
Yeah, and that's scary.
It's very scary.
Yeah. And especially if you've got a challenge. I mean, I remember when I was younger, I was quite, I didn't fit in. I have a lot of school friends that I still connect with now, but I didn't really fit into the whole school life. I was a bit of a loner, probably because of the things that I thought about and the way I saw the world. I didn't see it the same way as other people, and I didn't really know, I didn't really have good social skills, I think, because I was off in my head a lot. It's just my personality type. And so as an adult, I connected with the world, but I didn't connect with the world, and I felt very uncomfortable communicating with other people. And I had to learn. I've gone through a whole process reading a lot of personal development books and becoming more understanding of how to communicate with other human beings. So I am a difficult person to get to know because I'm so quiet in myself at times. And when I was younger, things would intimidate me. Things would be quite frightening for me to do. And one of the things was standing up for myself to authority figures. Because in the past I'd just flown under the radar. If I got angry or got upset in my family environment, my nuclear family, I'd be belittled. You know, girls aren't supposed to get angry, so I'd be belittled. So to stand in my power, I remember I was renting a house and they had it on the market, and I was in my 20s. And I was a single mom and I had my own little business, and like I was starting public speaking. Like, I had all this self-confidence in different areas, but I had to stand up to the real estate agent, and I was crapping myself. But I was in the right, and I had they had sold the house, and they had not told me they had sold the house. And I had the right of 4 weeks' notice, and they gave me 10 days.
Oh.
And I rang the REIQ, which is the real estate authority here in Queensland, and I got my legal advice, and armed with knowledge, I confronted the real estate agent. And I had to go and talk to somebody who was a few years older than me and more adept at communicating with people who would try and lord over you, so that I could have a little bit more bolstering and confidence before I did it. It was completely out of my comfort zone. But I had no choice. I had to stand up to them because there was no way in 10 days as a single person with very little money in my account because I had to raise difficult children with special needs and learning difficulties. So I wasn't able to work at that time. I really had to be at home with these boys. I somehow had to come up with the money to leave, plus I had to come up with the energy to do it and find somewhere to go. So I had to stand up for myself. I pushed myself into that confrontation, and I came out on top, and it was a turning point in my life because if I could do it then, I could do it again. And one of the things that you're talking about, emotions and not accessing them, I didn't feel very loved when I was growing up for various reasons. So I felt disconnected from my emotions. And, I had to feel them. But in feeling them, I felt anger as well. And it was righteous anger. I was right to have it. And so I tapped into that. And I used it. I channeled it, not in aggression against the other person, but in pushing me forward and over the line to speak my truth. And that caused me to grow. And whenever anyone tries to rip me off now, I have a choice. Oh, I'm going to let that go because karma will get you. Or I'm going to stand up for myself and I can draw on that power within me, that righteous anger I have within me that you've done me wrong, and I can draw on that and stand up for myself. So that's a huge thing. And, that there marks a turning point in my destiny. I'm sure that plenty of other people can relate to having had to do something like that for themselves as an adult. Adulting is so difficult.
I like the stories. One comment I wanted to make about the real estate situation was you said you had no choice. I think that you did have a choice. You could have kowtowed to the forces that were trying to push you into a difficult position for whatever reason, presumably because they wanted to rent the space out to somebody else right away. But you took responsibility and you asserted yourself and you empowered yourself. And that was a choice that you made. So I wanted to throw that in there. I don't know how that resonates for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, they'd sold the house. So they, the person who had bought it wanted to occupy it.
Right.
And they had promised that person that they would be in by a certain date, and that date was 10 days before I was to leave.
Yeah.
10 days after I was to supposedly to leave. They'd not followed their due process.
Right.
In telling me, because here in Queensland it takes 4 weeks to settle a house. So if you've sold the house, it's gone unconditional and it's now going to be in your name, you've still got the conveyancing and everything else to go through, so it takes about four weeks. And that 4 weeks, if you've got a tenant in that house, that's their 4 weeks to get out.
Yeah.
And they forgot.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Tell me.
But, my point is...
So I guess
Excuse me for interrupting. My point was this.
You
could have just resigned yourself to what they were and not fought the righteous fight that you did fight and accepted that as your fate. And instead, you opened yourself to a greater possibility and you followed your destiny.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I could have somehow turned myself inside out and got out of there in 10 days. But it would have been at great expense to myself and my family.
Mm.
And I wasn't willing to go there. That would have meant multiple sleepless nights cleaning. You know, it just would have packing. It takes a week to pack a house. You know, 10 days. So then I'd have 3 days to, you know, I just couldn't have gone there. And I can't see anybody else who could, not with a three-bedroom house full of stuff.
Oh, I couldn't pack that in a month.
On your own. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I could, but boy, talk about just an incredible feat it would be, and there would be so much anxiety connected to it, you know. It would not be a fun experience. And of course, it's never fun to find yourself being evicted from some place. But at any rate, you were true to yourself.
That's right. And I landed on my feet. I found a lovely little cottage to move into. And as a matter of fact, after I moved, the energy of the place that I moved into meant that I was like financially wealthier, even though the rent was higher. So taking that step and standing up for myself and stepping up into my potential allowed me to then have a better life. And I think that's what really we're talking about, isn't it? Is that we can, if we step up to the plate to our destiny and we are brave enough to start that path, we can have a better life.
Absolutely. And we can overcome whatever obstacles that either we create for ourselves or that seem to be placed in our way. I so related to your story about not being validated as a child. I was told how I should feel and shouldn't feel, and it was very confusing to me and frustrating. And I, too, also found myself trying to figure things out in my head and not operating at a real heart level in those days, even though I'm a very giving person. I have a big heart when it comes to other people, but I did not extend that heart to myself because I was always in my head. And I don't know where I'm trying to go with this, but I think that both of us have come to experience something that is greater than what we thought we may be destined to be. And we both are people that do think with our hearts these days. At least I see that within you, Kat.
Yeah, I see it within you too. I think I learned to think with my heart and let my head tell me what the consequences of that decision might be before I go ahead with it. I think with my heart and therefore a intuitive experience happens, which works really well for me time and time again. I think with my heart and I'm able to feel compassion and empathy for others, which allows me to have a deeper human experience. I think a lot. I probably think too much. I'm in my head a lot, and if you know me on Facebook, I had a nasty fall recently because I was chewing the fat over something I had recently learned. I'm always immersing my head in spiritual knowledge and scientific knowledge, and I like crossing the two together and expanding my mind more. But then when I'm out, you know, walking around, I'm off in another zone thinking about some scientific idea or some spiritual idea or something, and then I'll end up walking into a pole or tripping and falling. So it can, being in your head too much can blind you to what's around you, and you need to be present, you know. And I've said it plenty of times, I'm not a perfect person, and I am probably a difficult person to get to know, and that's not a badge of honor, that's just my personality type. Because I go in my head a lot, I don't talk a lot when I'm at home. I'm not a big talker. So talking is for my career. It's really not for my home. I like it like that. I like to be quiet. So, being in your potential is sometimes being about having the quiet times to process as much as it is getting out there and doing something that really lights you up. You know, you must find that being an author, you have the active times, the positive space where you're behind the computer and you're pouring your imagination into the computer, and then there's the passive times, the negative space, where you're allowing new ideas to well up within you. You need to have that balance, don't you?
Yes. It's amazing. At points, I just seem to be able to keep generating a lot of new material for an extended period of time. I mean, I've written as many as 3 or 4 books in a year, and I haven't written a book in the last year and a half that I'm aware of. I've been deeply involved in the editing process, and writing the book is just a small fraction of the entire process of getting a book to the marketplace. But I was thinking about what you said about you're not perfect, and nobody is perfect, that's for sure. And yet I think that if we aim in that direction, we are looking towards recognizing and fulfilling our potential, whatever that may be. And again, I see that as part of shaping our greater destiny, and hopefully it's for the better.
Yeah, and also I think sometimes people put blocks in their path. You know, I mean, you talked about wanting to be an actor. So did I. I was actually invited to a prestigious acting school by the dean of that school when I was 18, but it wasn't supported by my parents. And at the time, I was like a lot of kids. I felt very much like I had to do as I was told, even though I was 18. I still felt, you know, I was a good girl back then, and I wasn't as free spirited as I should have been, because if I was, I would have gone in that direction. But now, as an adult, I've gone and started back on the path of vocals, vocal coaching, getting vocal coaching. I'm not a vocal coach. I'm a singer. I'm a contralto, 3-octave range. I found that out in my 30s. There was an opportunity to take up singing lessons and wanted to know if I could sing. That was the first thing. It was not something I was encouraged to do as a kid. I was always shut down, and in fact, when I started my singing lessons in my early 30s, my father was very confronted by the whole idea and was quite upset that I was doing it. So I had to really push against that, and that's not because of me, that's because of him, and because he was told he couldn't sing as a child, so he wasn't going to let me be a singer. His mother had something against amateur actors, So therefore, I was not encouraged to become an actor, even though I was excelling at it. And so I chose to push it through those blocks. It did mean that I had to wait till I was older, and I felt more strong in myself that, you know, I'm an adult now, you can't tell me what to do. But then I got to a point that I couldn't afford to do the lessons anymore. And then I had a baby and got a pulmonary embolism, which is a blood clot in my lung, and I lost the ability to be able to hold the breath enough to sing, and I had to rebuild my lung through pranayama yoga. I rebuilt it to the point that I could hold my breath long enough to sing. I started doing karaoke to see if I was ready. I felt I wasn't, and then eventually I said, yes, I am. And then there was the block, oh, it's going to be too expensive for you to get vocal lessons. I asked. I've let myself be drawn to a teacher. I asked how much. I could easily absorb that fee. So I went ahead and did it. I had lots of people tell me I couldn't do it and lots of reasons why I couldn't do it. But I went ahead and did it anyway.
You didn't listen to them.
No, and since I have been doing it, I just want to say this, since I have been doing it, I have been more of myself than ever, and my friends have noticed that. So it makes a big difference, just following your potential.
You followed your inner voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've come down toward the end of the hour. Is there anything else that you'd like to say on the subjects?
If you're in a life where you're unsatisfied and you know there's something more, don't stay in that. That's your fated life, as we've discovered. That's the mediocre life that you don't want. That's why you're unhappy. Don't be making any big drastic changes right now. Make a plan and look at what it is that you can do now to fulfill yourself a little bit, and make a plan to follow that and let the doors open, because your destiny, it's like a babushka doll. One thing uncovers the next, uncovers the next, uncovers the next. And as you begin to open those doors to your destiny, you begin to find the right people, the right opportunities, the right places, the right things will begin to fall in line. And soon enough, the old shackles will fall away and the new light will come into your life. It might take a couple of years, but the journey to the destiny, as we all know, is just as important as the destiny itself. So start, even if that's just putting down your iPhone at night and picking up a pencil and starting to sketch something. Go into it. It's usually your creative side as well. And creative side can be inventing something, can be mechanical. It doesn't necessarily have to do with painting or writing or acting or something. But go into that. What do you think, David?
I think you're absolutely spot on. And as you were talking about, it's the journey is more important than the destiny or something like that. I was thinking of a T-shirt that I own that says it's the journey, not the destination. And maybe that's where the word destination comes from. Maybe it comes from destiny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I considered that.
And that sounds good. I like that. So if we think about fate and fatal, so if you're going to follow your fate, it's going to be fatal. But if you're going to follow your destiny, you're going to get to your destination.
And I think it's one step at a time, too. We don't know what it's going to be at the end. And so why focus on the end point? It's the living that happens moment by moment as we remain aware of what it is that our heart or our head is telling us we need. Obviously, we were given a head and a heart for a reason that we need to use both. But if we can be present to the moment and follow our desires, then, and have faith that all is well, that we will reach a happy destination for ourselves and not be locked into some uncomfortable, miserable fate.
Yes, I think you're right there. And your potential is part of that. That's all your talents. That's all your abilities. That's your gifts. That's the things that your soul's good at. You have multiple lifetimes, and you just have to look at famous people who are really good at what they do, like Roger Federer or Warren Buffett. These people are in multiple lifetimes doing what they do.
Mm.
And so they're born with those talents because they've honed them in. You've been born with talents too. You've had multiple lifetimes doing something that you're really good at. I mean, look at the goddess Nigella Lawson. Oh, my God, I love watching her. I even love watching her eat. Just holy moly. Wow. There's not much else you can say, but wow, she's amazing. But she's her destiny. She fulfills it every time she cooks. And that's a talent.
I like
that's
that.
Your potential.
I like that.
That's your potential. Follow your talents.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been given an inspiration for doing a meditation tonight, if you'll
fabulous.
Humor me. Okay, everybody, close your eyes if it pleases you, if you feel comfortable, and take a few deep healing breaths, breathing in to the count of 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, hold, breathing out to the count of 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, release, and continue. Three deep breaths. And now I want you to imagine and use your imagination every step of the way, even if you can't follow some of the examples that I'm going to give you. Use your imagination. We all have one. And so, first of all, I'm going to ask you to imagine that you're a young child and remember those things that pleased you, the things that made you happy, and the dreams that you had as a young child. And just pause for a minute and reflect upon those and see how that led you towards your teenage years. And what were your joys then? What were your passions? What were your dreams? How did you envision your future? Use your imagination as you move forward into your young adult years. Remember not only what you were doing, but those things that brought you joy, those things that inspired you, those hopes and dreams that you had for yourself. And whether or not you had achieved any of those hopes and dreams that you'd had as a teenager. And if you hadn't, that's okay, because there's still time to learn and to grow and to make choices that will bring you that elusive happiness, that joy, that freedom that you yearn. And now move forward into your 30s as you approach your middle years. Imagine, remember what brought you joy, what fed you, what your passions were, what your dreams were. and see them clearly now as you move forward into your 40s, as you're approaching your middle years. You still have a long way to go. And so I ask you to once again remember your joys, your dreams, what inspired you, what your passions were, or what they are, if that's where you are at. And then you can do the rest of the exercise on your own, because now I've laid out the blueprint for you. But just imagine moving toward the end of your life. Imagine that you will realize your life's potential. And just remember that the responsibility is yours. Nobody else can do it except for you. You're a child of the universe. You are beloved. Only good things are wished for you. And you have the power to change anything that does not please you. If you make choices, sometimes hard choices, sometimes not so hard choices, but you have the power within you to shape your destiny. And so I leave you with that and ask you to continue to breathe naturally, normally, peacefully. And when you're ready, open your eyes. And be aware of how you feel in this moment, in this time. And just remember that your life is unfolding moment by moment, step by step, each step of the way. Make it a good one. Make it positive. You have that power. And so it is. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. God bless.
Thank you.